Let us start our service with hymn 332 from the hymnal. 332. Welcome. Glad to see many here, and we have guests. Welcome Richard and Monica, and welcome home Peter and Rachel. Are there any greetings? Greetings from Hungary. Anybody else? Okay. Mark and Becky sent their greetings. They're meeting with David Gasser this afternoon at 1 o'clock. In case you have not heard, Lori Bostrom had COVID after camp, and so she's recovering from that. So Mark and Becky are not visiting with Lori today. My brother and sister-in-law, Mike and Nancy Crave in Ohio, both had COVID. He had it first. They tried not to share it, but she ended up getting it too. But they're slowly recovering. So please keep all of those people in your prayers. Today there will be lunch in church. The quarterly mission focus is the Ghana missions. It's on the monthly calendar. And keep them in prayer. And also, if you can do a monetary contribution, that would be nice. Thank you. The August food pantry collection. The August collection is for the food pantry. And on the back table, I have a list of things that the two food pantries that we support are looking to collect. And they say that the summer months are the low months where people don't give as much, but they still have people who need the food. And there's other also non-food things on the list, so please look at that. Upcoming events. This coming weekend, I sent an email out to most of you. Sight and Sound TV is streaming David, their play on David. So if you haven't looked at the email yet, or if you didn't receive the email, please let me know. But it's a free thing. Usually it costs money to watch these things, but it's a very, very good play on the life of David. On August 23rd, from 4 to 7 p.m., we have a clothing swap here at church. There's a notice also on the board. If you don't know anything about it, see me or see Katie next week. But that's the plan for August 23rd. And then September 29th, at the end of the month, the foundation trustees are visiting here and having their meeting here at church. So we'll have maybe a dozen or so guests. So please keep that in mind. End of September. September 29th. The new foundation directory, we received ours last week. So if you haven't received it, It should come this week. If you don't receive it, let me know, and I'll let them know that you need to receive one. So, are there anything else? Is there anything else to announce? Okay. Syracuse outing the first weekend in October. If not, let's sing out of hymn number 216. We are assembled here, O Lord, verses 1, 2, and 3. And then please pray for Brother Frank as he has this morning's service.
Good morning. We thank God for each one He has brought here this morning and ask the blessing would be upon us, and we thank Him for that. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful that we can come together in Your house and to hear from Your word and to fellowship with one another, and we thank You for each one that You have brought here this morning, and that each one would receive a blessing. And we just want to honor You and praise You in all that we say and do, for we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this year's Eastern Camp this year, the theme was, Behold, I Make All Things New, which is taken from Revelation 21:5. And we talked about that in the classes during the week and had sermons on that, and we're thankful for that. In one of our classes, the teacher asked, what do you think it will be like in heaven to have all things new? And in a way, that is a difficult question to answer, because it's all new and it's not something we have kind of experienced before, and so we can't give some kind of a concrete answer except for some of the things that we read in Scripture, and we can't describe it in things we can't always describe it in things we see every day, because it will be new and different, and so We thank God for that, though. But in the previous verse of before that, in Revelation 21:4, it says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So we can see from the things that won't be there, things that we have experienced on this earth of like death, but there won't be any more dying after that once we get into the kingdom of heaven. And there's no sorrow. Sorrow is a feeling that we can feel, and to know that there won't be any of that in heaven, that's something amazing. And no crying and no more pain and things like that. So we can see that. But even to try to imagine in our minds some things, it's difficult to do of some context. And even if, like I said, if I gave you some chalk or a marker and I said, draw me joy, you can't really put joy onto something on a board and maybe that you could put some things that make you joyful, but you can't always express it in the way that that we would like. But I'd like to read this morning in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or in wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that he might know we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so here, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And he's saying that he doesn't use worldly wisdom or man's wisdom, doesn't use earthly things to try to impress his audience or to show how much knowledge or information he has about worldly events or happenings. And worldly wisdom teaches us how to get ahead in this life on this earth, and a lot of people want to do that. They want to get ahead, and they want to be praised for that. But here he's saying he doesn't want to talk about worldly wisdom, that the apostle wants to talk about those things that come from the Spirit of God, and then that we can help to understand of what God is really like and how much he loves us and cares about us. And then Paul even says that if those people who were at Christ when Pilate asked what should we do with Christ, and they said crucify him, that they were considering the things that other people were saying. They weren't considering that really Jesus was, this was the long-awaited Messiah that they were waiting for, And now they were saying that he should be crucified. So it's not, that isn't wisdom from God. That isn't something that's given from God. That's something that they thought in their own minds or heard from other people and were going along with that. And so they didn't understand that. And they didn't understand the greatness of God, and they didn't understand of why Christ had come to this earth and why he was here. And he was here really so that he could take upon himself the punishment for sin, so that we would be able to be forgiven of sins. And they didn't understand that. And had they understood that, they would have praised God for having Jesus to do that. But they thought about things in an earthly way. And in verse 9 it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither was entered into the hearts of men the things which God had prepared for them that love him." And that's really similar to Isaiah 64:4, which says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he had prepared for him that waited for him." And so even in the Old Testament, it was known that God was preparing us, preparing his people for something in the future that is much greater than we can have on this earth. And these verses show that the greatness of God that he is preparing will be more than the things we have experienced on this earth, and that we haven't seen those things, but we know of them because God provides us in his word of understanding those things and knowing those things. And he also provides, if we are true believers in God and if we have given our lives over to God, he provides the Holy Spirit that even would help us in teaching us those things that are from God. And we have God's word that we can read and to read about what God has done in the past and what God is doing now and the things that he is preparing for us in the future. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have the kind of scripture scripture wasn't available to them as it is to us. Today we have many Bibles in our home, probably. We have Bibles on cell phones and on computers and all kinds of things where we can access the Word of God and see what God is speaking to us. And also these words in verse 9, "But I had not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." And it takes me back to something that happened before, that when I was on a business trip in Colorado Springs. And in those years, I worked for a power supply company in Hackensack, and they made power supplies for all kinds of things, for computers and machines and everything. And they were supplied from 120 volt outlets, and they brought it down to like 12 volts or 24 volts for what was ever needed in that. And we tested those power supplies, each one, to make sure that the electricity that they were being powered by would not get to the person who was using that power supply or to the equipment that power supply was powering. And so we tested that it would be isolated from that power and you wouldn't get a shock. And we did that by putting 1,400 volts between the power and the output of the power supply to make sure that it is safely isolating that from getting an electric shock. And this company in Colorado, which was buying our power supplies, were saying that some of the they were doing the same kind of a test. They were putting 1,400 volts from one end to the other end to make sure it's totally isolated. And they were saying some of our power supplies were failing that test. And then I went and did some tests on the power supplies, and they all passed with 1,400 volts in our testing. And so they sent me out there to take a look at what was going on. And so they sent me also with some units that I had tested here and made sure that it passed that test. And when I got there, we checked all their equipment, all the calibration. We took measurements on their equipment. And their equipment was operating the same as our equipment. But then some of the power supplies that I took with me that had passed the test here didn't pass over there. And I really came back not knowing exactly what the problem is, because we looked at their equipment and it was similar to our equipment, and we couldn't determine why some of those units had failed. And then I came back and did some research, and they found out that Colorado Springs is about 6,100 feet above sea level, and Hackensack is just about sea level. Sometimes the water from the river comes into the parking lot. We found out that altitude affects the insulation that we used in the power supplies. And we did test some at a lower voltage when they were there, and as you, some would not make the 1,400 volts, but some would go to 1,200, or some would go to 1,000, and so we were able to get a better grade of insulation that would withstand even that test that they were doing at a higher altitude. And so so we did that, and that seemed to solve the problem. And I was just wondering that we were in effect doing something different than what they were doing at their location, just because of the altitude of ours being close to sea level and that being at 6,100 feet. And I was thinking, if there can be such a change of characteristics in 6,000 feet of altitude, what kind of a difference can there be between what is happening on Earth and what is happening in heaven? You can't even imagine that just because of 6,000 feet in altitude, it changes so much. How much would it change from Earth to heaven? We can't even imagine that. Somehow it came back to even our own obedience, or my obedience, because I wondering if my obedience is just to the lower limit of what obedience can be, instead of really worshiping and praising God. Maybe I just do the minimum that God has said, and not really with a full heart, or is my obedience much greater than it should be, or should be greater? Maybe my obedience isn't at a level that it should be at, and I'm wondering, am I doing the minimum, just what it takes to get by, and is that really a praise to God? If we just do the minimum of things that will get us by, we're not really honoring and praising God like we should be. It's something that we should understand, that God is so much greater than we are, than I am. And in 2 Peter 3:18 it says, "But grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so it's telling me that we need to, we can't stop at a certain level and say that we're going to be like this for the rest of our lives. God wants us to grow in closeness to Him and in understanding of Him and knowing Him on a personal level, knowing Him as someone that we can speak to every day. We can pray to Him every day. We can read His Word every day. We can do those things that would show how wonderful God really is. And we can do those things, in prayer and draw closer to Jesus and follow His example and trust Him and be obedient to Him. And then we would get a greater understanding every day of how much God loves us, how much Jesus loved us, to be able to go to the cross and to sacrifice, to where his body, even before he went to the cross, that he was scourged, he was whipped, and he was bleeding, and he had to carry the cross, and he was in such bad shape that someone had to help him carry the cross. But yet he did that for me. He did that because that's what the punishment is for, the sins that I had done. And he did that, and he came to earth to be in human form, to go through the things and the trials and the temptations, to see them to happen to us, and he would personally see that. And we need to understand in God's Word what how much it took to go from a place of glory where things were better than we could imagine, and come to this earth and to be born as a baby and to go through those physical things that we go through in life, and he would come to experience those things, to go through the experience that we need to go through. And Christ did that. He did that. And we should be thankful every day for what Christ has done, for what that plan of salvation that was from the beginning of the world, that even before man had sinned, that plan of salvation was already God knowing that we would sin and that we would not be obedient in everything, and God knowing that we'd need to be forgiven of those sins in order to come unto Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth as He really deserves to be worshipped. We need to follow the leading of God, give our lives over to God and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit could also teach us those things about God, to teach us how great God is and to how wonderful it is to have a God like that. And in James 1, 5 and 6 it says, "For if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." And here we have an invitation from God that if there are things that we don't understand, we can come unto Him, and we can come unto His Word and to look and search in His Word for the wisdom that God has put in His Word. And even if we don't understand everything, maybe we have to speak with others who have gone through this before to confess what we are lacking in wisdom and lacking in understanding, and go to and pray together with someone else to help to get an understanding of those things. And we don't have to have a real physical type understanding. Like, there are things we can't describe in physical form, but things that would happen to us. But we can help to know what the will of God is, and how we should come unto God, and how we should ask Him, and that relationship that we should have. We should have such a deep personal relationship with Jesus that we would thank Him every day, and that He would also give us the way that we should go. He would direct our paths, and we would be obedient to Him and come unto Him and ask for Him to direct our paths. And it's really amazing that a God who is so great and who is really in control of the whole universe, because He has created the whole universe. And we can see that even now that we have telescopes and things just to see how vast the universe is. And then we have telescopes that we send on satellites into space, and to see that the universe is even greater than we can even imagine. And to know that God has created that and such a vast thing that God is directing and guiding, and that He has made that, and yet He has made us also. And sometimes we worry about some little things that but we can even come unto God with them, that even if it's something little unto us, God cares for us so much that even little things that could be brought unto Him, and he would grant us the wisdom, or He would grant us the understanding, or He would even grant us to just knowing that we have such a great God, that why am I even worrying about things like this, that God is able to take care of everything, and God is able to come unto us, and to that we can have that relationship and talk to Him in such a unique way that it can't really be even understood fully of how much God loves for us and cares for us. And I'd also like to read in Colossians 1, 9 through 21. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And it's also amazing that we don't have to understand all of the things. Sometimes we try to understand and go into all kinds of details about some things that really doesn't matter to us. And when they were talking about what do you think it will be like in heaven, we can't even imagine that. But if we know God on such a level that we know that He takes care of those things for us, if he was to send his son, and he did send his son to earth to teach us, to go through those things and events that we go through, and to have his son go to the cross and to be punished with the punishment that I should have had. If we have a God that loves us so much, if we have the Son of God that did that for us, and then to know that how great is that love of God for us, that he would do that for me. It's unimaginable how great God's love is for us. And I think sometimes we just take that for granted, that, well, that's how it should be. But if we really understand that what God has done and is doing for us, I think we would really get a more accurate picture of how great God is. And just looking at the verses of that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into heart of the man of the things which God had prepared to love him. That's such a great thing that really our mind can't fully comprehend that. But he's also talking about the Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit is within us, we can get a better understanding of how great that love of God is. And once we know, or once he has shown us that God is so great, to be ready to do anything that he wants, to be obedient in any way, and not to just try to do the minimum and get by, but try to do as much as we can, to try to love God in such a way because of the God, the greatness of the God that he is, how wonderful that is, and how blessed we are to have a God like that would care for us. May the Lord bless his word.
Number 167.
In my reading this morning was from Isaiah 55, starting verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So this morning in Bible class, we heard that the need for us to build our spiritual house. And that's not something that just happens when we give our lives to the Lord. It's a daily event to build our spiritual house. And in the service, we heard the need to have wisdom, which God willingly gives to us, and to be obedient unto him. And Brother Frank talked briefly about what heaven might be like. And it reminded me, and I haven't thought about this for many years, somebody described it very crudely as follows. They saw hell. And in hell, there was these tables full of lavish food. And everybody was, arms were out like this. They couldn't bend their elbows. And they were all hungry and starving and crying because they couldn't reach the food and put it in their mouths. Because they couldn't bend their elbows. And then he had another vision of heaven. Tables full of lavish food. Everybody standing around with arms stretched out again. But the difference was, in heaven, they were satisfied. They were well fed because someone picked up the food and gave it to somebody else so they could eat. And somebody else picked up food and gave them something to eat. So, you know, a selfishness attitude, or a willing and a giving and a sharing attitude was the difference in there. So I think it's a crude comparison, but I thought it was very vivid in my mind. Brother Richard, can I ask you to have the closing prayer, please? Let's all arise.
We love you, God, and we thank you for the reminder this morning. And we pray for, first off, for forgiveness where maybe we just do the minimum, and we pray that you would renew our hearts and our minds and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be more loving and more faithful to you, God. We pray that only you can work in our hearts and that we could show your light to those around us. And we pray that you would provide for us and bless us. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We pray that you would always remind us of your blessings and that we would always be thankful and have a thankful heart. We love you, God, and we just pray that you would bless us and bless this church and bless all the churches that are assembled today. And we just thank you and praise you for all that you have done, and we thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Amen.